Hello and welcome to the Star Spangled Podcast, Legends of Philadelphia. We're your host. I'm Tony Stars and Stripes Trove, and this is my schoolyard chump, Johnny Old Glory Zito. Joining us on engineering duties is Brian Grand Old Flag Bierman. You might be wondering, what makes these guys stand up and salute? Well, in addition to being Philadelphia natives, Zito and I have a lifestyle brand, South Fellini, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes, and comfort, and podcasts, and grave robbing. Lots of times, customers will ask, was that a firecracker or a gunshot? Or they want to know why we grill brajol on the 4th of July. We decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you. Why do we grill brajol on the 4th of July? Because we're Italian Americans, and it's all we know.
It's all we know.
It's all we know.
What's brajol?
I'll
say it. Listeners don't know. And me. I don't know what that is. I saw that in the intro. I was like, I'm glad I'm not reading it this week because I don't know how to say this.
Every 4th of July, the Zito's are the great barbecues because they always have brajol and lamb. Like, unlike other Americans, they have.
In addition to American food, yeah.
Yeah, the Zito's. What is brajol? I don't know. I guess it's beef, right?
It's like rolled meat. Yeah. We do beef, but I think it can be pork as well.
It's rolled up
and it's like on skewers. And sometimes you can put some like cheese in the middle of it and then you roll it up and you put it on these.
I think sometimes it has like a breading with it too.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Oh man. You can make a big one and cut it up into,
like me.
You can make one and.
How do I get invited to a place that will serve this?
All full. We're all full up. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Paisans only.
Well, I am a Paisan.
Another lamb for me.
Damn it.
One chop in each hand.
One chop. I have too many chops. I don't even want these.
Too many chops.
Give them to my cat.
Yeah, it's if it all goes according to plan, most people are listening to this episode on 4th of July, dropping on Monday, July 4th. So we thought we'd do something a little patriotic or something about America. I don't know if this is patriotic, but
yeah, I don't know.
It's on theme. We're talking about Betsy Ross. Betsy Ross was a talented seamstress and upholsterer who was widely believed to have made the first American flag. In preparation for the country's 200th anniversary, the Betsy Ross Foundation and her descendants wanted to exhume her grave and rebury her remains in the courtyard of her historic home at 4th and Arch, where it is believed that she sewed the first flag. But when a team of excavators dug under her grave in December of 1975, there was nothing at the bottom. Dun, dun, dun.
Whoa.
Quite a mystery.
That must have been so disappointing.
It's like when Geraldo opened that vault and the Al Capone vault. And it was just a chair in there and like a desk.
Yeah.
It's like that. They dug up Betsy Ross's grave and there was just a chair down there.
I guess there was a lot of this going on back then.
Grave robbings?
No, just like
corpse theft.
Not robbing.
Still yes, though. That was going on back then.
It was the 70s. It was a different time.
Quaaludes and robbing graves. Just a different time.
That's where Philadelphia gets its reputation from the 70s, when everybody was just robbing graves.
Yeah, hockey.
Robin Gibb and robbing graves, dude. That was all we needed.
And the sound of Philadelphia.
The strings. Orchestral R&B songs.
I didn't know about this.
I didn't know about this at all.
We didn't know this. Someone sent us to this, right?
Yeah. So my friend Pat Boyer, who listens, he sent me this, and I was like, it was like something on Instagram, so I sent it to them. And I was like, we should do this. But then I didn't know anything about this, so.
So you just like saw the headline. You're like, that seems like a good topic.
Yeah, yeah. And I forgot about it. Well, a lot of times I sleep late, so when I wake up, I have like 10 people. I have so many people.
You have 10 texts from me.
Yes. And it was like, what? Why am I on a group chat about?
What's this?
Come on.
Enough with the Ninja Turtles, all right.
Either Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters, or Godzilla. These are the frequent topics on the thread.
It's 1 p.m. I'm trying to sleep.
It's 1 p.m.
So your friend turned us on to this story, and then I had never heard of it. I just assumed that the grave at the Betsy Ross house was, in fact, where she was buried.
I've been to the house, but I didn't know any of this. I went there when I was a kid. I think I mentioned it not too long ago because it sucked. It's boring.
Well, it's not very big. I've been in there before. It's just a...
Yeah, it's just like an old woman's like, look, this is her fireplace. We put plastic up so no one tries to touch the antique patriotic fireplace. This is where she set up a fire and then... But it's literally just like the gift shop's bigger than the actual like fucking like where it is where she lived, which I guess is just like she was just like an old lady who lived in a row home, right?
Basically, yeah, pretty much. It was she was like
as long as I got Jeopardy and
Murder She Wrote,
yeah, then I'm good.
Well, she wasn't like, they didn't go to a famous flag maker to make this flag. They went to whoever was around.
They went on Etsy.
They sourced it locally. No, it didn't go on Etsy. A lot of that stuff is drop shipped, you know.
What's that mean?
It means they don't actually have it. They resell it and buy it from someone else.
Oh, I see.
Who supplies it.
Yeah. They know where the hookup is. Have you ever been to the Betsy Ross house, Trev?
No, actually, it's one of the Philadelphia tourist destinations that I've never visited.
You're missing out.
I read your Yelp review.
I didn't want to get. I gave it 2 stars because I thought 1 star would be unpatriotic. So I was
what do you want? Parking over there, dude. You gotta take a cab or an Uber.
No, I take the flash train.
You gotta take the flash train. You gotta take the sugar house bus.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta get one of those electric scooters. Everybody's got those now.
Yeah, and the e-bikes.
E-bikes.
Sounds like a bike you download.
What's that unicycle that's like, it's just one wheel, people ride it?
I think it's just called the wheel.
The wheel?
Yeah, I think it's just called the wheel. I sent Trove a video somebody shared on
South Street.
Yeah, of like a flock of people on the wheel. It was like it's not a group. It's
just
not a gang.
You know, you want to join their gang.
I want to join their gang. Do you guys have jackets? Do we have a name yet? Are you open to suggestions?
Do we have a name yet? Can I be the secretary? Can I be the treasurer of your?
I'm really good at keeping notes.
I keep notes at your meetings.
It's like a Kira.
Like a Kira.
We all get jackets, right? Cool jackets?
Yeah.
What did Tetsuo say? It was like for your health, right?
Yeah, I think it's a pill. It's like a pill that says like for your health. Good for health. Bad for education. That's it. Good for health, bad for education.
Yeah, just do a bunch of pills and ride around your unicycle.
Just fighting with clowns, as you do.
Just dressing up in leather, riding around my unicycle, eating a bunch of pills.
That's patriotism.
And if you're a little boy who looks like an old man that has a problem with it,
Then say something. Say it to my face.
Meet me at Marconi Park.
My mind powers versus your mind powers. Let's see. Let's see who wins.
Akira, the movie.
Akira, the movie.
We should do a parody of Akira, but instead of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, it's the 2026 World Cup in Philadelphia, and it's all set around a wheelie gang, a one-wheel gang.
Hollywood, if you're listening.
Write this down, Bierman. Write this down.
Philly Hollywood, which as we've said, is Delco. All right.
Elizabeth America. Betsy. America.
USA.
A lot of the research for this week's episode comes from our friends at Tune With A View podcast, which I mistakenly referred to as Tom B. With A View podcast a few weeks ago on our Arizona Omissions episode when they kindly wrote in and asked us about our favorite cemetery. And that is kind of the inspiration for this episode. And then they helped us out with some research, so big thanks to them. Elizabeth Betsy Grissom Ross Ashburn Claypool was born to a Quaker family in Philadelphia on January 1st, 1752. Well, Betsy had...
It's a long name. She had great oats growing up.
Yep. She had great oats.
That's a long name.
You know, that is a long name.
She had three husbands, John Ross, Joseph Ashburn, and John Claypool.
Not at the same time, though, right?
No slouch. She was always able to, even though her first two husbands, John Ross and Joseph Ashburn, were killed during the American Revolution, she pulled down a third bachelor.
So, but she kept their names, though?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they died.
So
they
her
didn't,
full
they,
name
they didn't
was
divorce.
Elizabeth Betsy Griscom Ross Ashburn Claypool?
Yes. Yeah, that's her
that
full name.
That sounds like a super group.
It does sound like a super group. Like that country one that had the
Highwayman?
The Highwayman.
Everybody.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
With Kris Kristofferson?
Yeah, when they're in the sky.
Waylon and Johnny and Willie. That's a great record.
It's just like that.
This is off the rails. This is off.
Who's
the rails.
Even listening? Somebody's putting this on while they're making their.
You said it's 4th of July. We're gonna listen. Everyone, you should listen to the Highwaymen. Listen to the Highwaymen. It's 4th of July.
Put on the Highwaymen. It's 4th of July.
And look to the skies.
Do you
look
to
the sky?
Paper. Betsy was professionally trained. She was an upholsterer who repaired uniforms, made tents and blankets, and prepared musket ball ammunition cartridges for the troops during the war. Betsy owned and operated an upholstery business in Philadelphia until she retired in 1827 at the age of 75 years old. But she is best known for sewing the first American flag, a claim that is now debated.
That's what I actually mostly know about this, is that people say she didn't do it.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they said that she copied it off of someone else, right?
Yeah, it was well, I mean, according to
she sold her soul to it was at the crossroads of Philadelphia.
So she sold her soul so she could be better at quilt making, like Robert Johnson.
That's right.
Playing guitar.
Similar to that story, maybe.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
That's a
continues,
metal.
You know, sorry.
That's a metal. That's a metal story.
These are just some theories. These are just some theories.
These are theories. These are theories.
Do your own research.
Do your own research.
Do your own research, sheeple.
This is a mess, dude. This episode. Let's just scrap it. Let's just scrap
it. Start
it
over.
Well, let's scrap it. Let's scrap it.
I can do the intro over.
Yeah, let's do it. Press roll.
This story, we're already 14 minutes deep. We can't. The story that Betsy Ross was the creator of the first American flag originated with her grandson, William Canby, who presented a paper about how his grandmother made the flag to the Historical Society of Philadelphia in 1870.
So no one knew it before then? No one, like,
well,
was like, oh, Betsy Ross.
nobody asked the question. And before 1870, everybody was like, who designed the American flag? And it was like, the answer was George Washington.
Who cares? Who cares?
Well, the answer...
who cares? He drew it in his notebook. It was crudely drawn, but it was...
It was crudely drawn. Was there. It was two boobs instead of stars. It was just...
He had middle fingers instead of stars.
Yeah, it was like a R. Crumb comic.
It's like an R. Crumb comic.
It was disgusting.
When he said this is going to be the blue section up here, he meant blue as in off color, as in, but not literally blue.
Blue.
It was a miscommunication. Blue. Yeah, I guess when people thought George Washington. Came up with the flag, but nobody stopped to ask who actually sewed it. So yeah, according to the descendants of Betsy Ross, General George Washington visited their grandmother in the spring of 1776 to commission her to sew the new Stars and Stripes flag. The Betsy Ross flag was a design with alternating red and white stripes and a circle of 13 five-pointed stars against a blue background. The flag was originally supposed to have had six-pointed stars, but Betsy suggested five-pointed stars because they were easier to make. Classic.
Production.
I love that.
What a lazy person. She's getting three stars, three out of five on Etsy.
I think it makes a lot of sense. I think she was on the money. It was a good suggestion from the artist, and As a great client, George Washington was like, "Yeah, you know what? You're right," and he went with it. That's the kind of guy you want to work for.
He was like, "Listen, this probably won't work out, so it doesn't really matter. this whole America situation we got going on. This is probably gonna. I'm gonna let you know, Betts. This is probably gonna drop off.
No, do you think George Washington was like one of those like designer clients that'll be like, I said red, but like not like that kind of red."
Yeah, he took it back.
You know, and they go like, I don't know what I want, but it's not this.
But it's not this.
I don't know, maybe.
And then she was just like, you know what, it is what it is, and they like take it.
I think it says a lot about him that he was able to take a note like, how about five instead of six stars? Or maybe he was just about the bottom dollar. Maybe he was just about how much it was going to cost him.
Yeah, he was.
And
like, yeah,
it came down to brass tacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brass teeth. That's how he paid him.
Brass teeth. That's how he ended up with wooden ones. He traded his teeth
to
Betsy Ross. And that's how he ended up with wooden teeth.
Is the flag cool looking, or is it just that we've been forced to say it's cool
it's
looking?
Cool. It's cool to us because we're American. Our foreign listeners are like,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But is it actually cool, or is it just like we're just forced to...
I was thinking about this earlier. I really couldn't answer that question. I think of it as, you know, such great iconography and useful in all kinds of situations, like for graphic design. But I think that might just be like great PR for the flag itself. It's just everywhere. It's ubiquitous. And I don't know if it actually looks good. It's a lot of stripes. It's kind of gaudy.
It's too many.
Like, you mean like in like the vexillology... Like people are into like flag design and things like that.
I just mean like, is it a cool flag? Like it doesn't have a bear on it, you know?
It doesn't have a bear on it.
It doesn't have like or like some countries' flags have like the moon on it and shit.
Some countries' flags have an eagle. Some countries' flags have eagles with two heads. Like we don't have any heads on our eagles. There's no eagle.
The Welsh flag. What about the Welsh flag?
I'll tell you, I was always a fan of the snake flag, but that's got not so great connotations nowadays, but graphically.
Yeah, so does the American flag. If I see someone walking down the street with an American flag, I'm scared.
Whenever I buy stamps, I always buy Old Glory.
But that's a stamp thing, though. That's because you love stamps.
But I have to say, if I'm going to buy like stamps, they're like, what did you want? I always go, Old Glory.
Old Glory.
They give you Elvis stamps instead.
And you're like, what is this? Like, I'll spit on
it. It's up for them to interpret whatever Old Glory is.
Like, what is this? Do I have to call my manager? Because you throw a fit if they don't know what they're talking about.
I always cause a scene at the post office.
At the post office.
I need my package back.
I need it back.
I mean, just send that.
I regret it.
And I have to race and try and catch it on the other side.
You think the audience is drunk right now? As like we are?
They're making Jello molds and hot dogs. Nobody's listening to this. This is background noise. Yeah. They're like, "Oh, my iPhone accidentally went to podcasts. I gotta go turn this. I gotta turn this back to my summer mix.
I can't turn it off.
What happened to Cool in the Gang? I can't turn it off. It makes the dog bark.
Yeah. Dog hates it. The sound of their voice just angers her. Voice. It angers her.
We have a fourth host that speaks so high you can only dogs can hear them.
Only dogs can hear it. His name is Church. Dude, this is a mess. This episode's a mess. Let's wrap it up.
So Canby's assertion was based on stories told to him by his family, including Betsy's daughters, all of whom signed
that was just bullshit.
Legal affidavits. Well, they signed.
You just said bullshit. Stop interrupting, and you interrupted.
Well, I'm trying to get back on what the show is. Interruptions. Loud interruptions.
All right, I'm with Bierman. It's bull jive.
Those who don't believe Ross created the first flag argue there are no records to back up the Canby claim. There were also a few other flag makers working for the Patriots cause in the Philadelphia area during this time that could have made the first flag. So it's not without question that it could have been any number of these other upholsterers or seamstresses.
She wasn't the only flag game in town.
And I mean, she might have sewn the first one, but did she, you know, there were many flags. After you sew the first one, they got to mass produce this thing. Everyone in the army needs a tiny little American flag so that they can wave it into battle.
That is crazy. Like, she didn't get royalties on this, right?
No. This was flat fee work for hire. Yeah.
Everybody rips this off. Stamps. You know how much money she could have just made on stamps or her family?
Yeah, royalties on stamps.
Great. Grandkids.
How many postcards go out?
Yeah.
I mean, you just shouldn't trust the founding fathers, man. They're thieves. They steal land. They stole this country from the British.
True.
They stole it from the Native Americans. And then they stole from Betsy Ross.
Yeah.
A lot of times government contracts are sort of like, you're signing the rights away to it creatively.
Yeah.
And all this government stuff is public domain. That's true, too. It's free for use and for parody.
As it should be. It's
freedom of speech, baby.
Freedom.
To those who do believe that Ross made the Stars and Stripes flags, they say that Betsy was known to have sewn flags for the fledgling country during and after the Revolution. So she was...
No, she did British flags, but didn't tell anybody.
Like those gift shops that sell like... Like Republican and Democratic.
Yeah, it's like I'm here to make money.
It's like a dog toy. And it's like
for some reason everybody wants a flag right now, and I'm driving up the price.
No, yeah, it's a market that you own, Betsy.
I'm the only flag maker in town, and they're like, "No, you're not. There's seven more." Fuck. But they suck. Though.
There's like six of them on Patrick Avenue. You know what I'm saying?
In the flag district.
Back then? In the flag district.
Flag district, yeah.
All right, let's start recording.
George Washington is known to have been in Philadelphia around the spring of 1776 when Ross's family say that she was visited by the general. It would have been hard for them to look up that factoid if it didn't actually happen.
Why would he go to her, though? Like, was she famous at making flags? Or like?
No, but she had made stuff for the army, for George Washington's army in that time, like tents and things like that, and furniture and stuff, so that they could have camps when the army was on the move. And so she had a reputation for, I guess, being reasonable or easy to work with, and it was somebody that George Washington knew of personally, or in his circle was known personally, so that he could take his design over to her and. You know, workshop this.
Her bootleg hats are incredible.
She was like married to three different veterans. I mean, come on.
Yeah, she gave a lot to the cause when you think of it like that.
She's in.
Also, any documentation about who made the first flag has been lost or destroyed, so a lack of evidence doesn't exactly disprove the Canby story.
Destroyed. Someone was trying to cover it up, dude.
Do your own research.
It's spelled out for you.
Do your own research.
In 1836, at the age of 84, Betsy Ross died and was buried with her third husband in the Free Quaker Burial Ground in the center of Philadelphia. When the city of Philadelphia purchased this cemetery 20 years later, the remains of Betsy Ross and John Claypool were moved to the Mount Moriah Cemetery.
So did, but people didn't know they moved them, though?
No, they did. So this is the first time she was buried.
They just didn't
care. This is the first time.
So apparently, and again, there's not great records, but apparently they were buried. Betsy was buried with her husband, her last husband, across the street from where her... it looks like this old cemetery was around where her house was. It was in the center. It was in the center city area, and so it was real close by. And then the city bought back that land and developed that land, wanted to turn it into other things. And everybody who was in that cemetery was moved to Mount Moriah Cemetery, which is slightly west of the city, or what the city was then. I think it might actually be in West Philly now. I'm not exactly sure. So this was the first time. This is where public records said she was buried. So then in 1975, the Betsy Ross Foundation and Betsy Ross's descendants petitioned to have her grave exhumed and her remains reburied in the courtyard of the Betsy Ross House, which had been turned into a historical landmark in the meantime. The Betsy Ross Foundation hired physical anthropologist Dr. Alan Mann, who was then at the University of Pennsylvania, to supervise the project. So he went up to Mount Moriah Cemetery to retrieve the remains. And Mann and his team of excavators began the exhumation of Betsy's grave at Mount Moriah on Monday, December 15th, 1975. When they reached the bottom of the plot, they found nothing.
That's kind of creepy. That would freak me out, I think, if I was there.
That'd be creepy.
So they started digging around that area, and when they dug a few feet away from the marker, they found a coffin that contained the bones of a male who Mann believed was either Betsy's grandson or great-grandson.
Whoa.
Oh, man.
At the time, Mann was worried that he would never find Betsy Ross's bones. So this was at the end of the first day of digging. Mann told reporters, quote, "Just what I need, getting blamed for losing Betsy Ross's body," end quote.
Day one, it's a disaster.
Yeah. Just what I need. One of those days, you lose Betsy Ross's body.
This guy's got a spotless record. He's never lost a body before. He always finds
it. I'm 2-0.
So his reputation is on the line. 2-0.
Man, I'm going to say it. I'm sorry if people are offended. I'm sorry if people are offended by this, but bones are creepy. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. Human remains are creepy.
Trove shared a picture with me a couple of weeks ago of the Washington Park Cemetery or the Washington Avenue Cemetery?
Union Cemetery on 6th and Washington.
Yeah, and it was the bodies being exhumed so that they could be moved somewhere else, and there's just piles of bones in these, like, file boxes being, tucked away to be reburied elsewhere.
Where's the best banh mi in South Philly?
Right on top
of Bali Bakery. Bali Bakery, baby.
Was that where it was?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Each banh mi is haunted by a union soldier.
A delicious ghost.
They lure you in. Try the banh mi.
Yeah, try the banh mi's. In the supermarket, too. The duck. It's great.
Let's call them and be like, "Hey, well, we said your place was haunted on your on our podcast. Could we get free sandwiches?" Please don't call here anymore.
Mann would have better luck on the next day. On December 16th, 1975, he dug a little further away and unearthed two boxes. The remains of a male were in a larger box, and the remains of an elderly female were in the smaller box. According to Mann, these were, in fact, the bones of Betsy Ross and her third husband, John Claypool, because, quote, "evidence found at the gravesite exactly matches reports," end quote, from Betsy's reburial in 1856. This is an official document.
So they were missing, but they were, like, 10 feet away?
Yeah, I guess, sort of. But, I mean, none of the newspaper accounts say exactly what the evidence was.
That's it. We're doing a podcast on this. That's it. That's like, well, the twist. They were slightly over there instead.
I think the implication is that slightly over there, it wasn't their bodies at all. And the newspapers at the time.
Oh, so it might not be them.
They don't report.
Also, Veerman, you send this to Zito blindly.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
This is another one. This is like Barbaro all over again. You asked for this.
Because it's not the same. If I know going into it, it's not that the magic's not there.
I want to talk about Dick Allen. You want to talk about this?
I said around Halloween because I'm scared right now. I'm freezing.
Well, this is also kind of 4th of July. I mean, it's also it's American Revolution stuff.
There's ghosts. Yeah, that's creepy.
So, the implication is, even though the official report says that evidence found at the gravesite exactly matches what they were looking for, the newspaper
it might
does
not be them.
Yeah, the newspaper doesn't exactly say what this evidence was, and we don't know exactly how far away from the marked grave these bodies were. It's not given to us. So it seems
like he might just be bullshitting.
Man was like, oh, look, I found them. And it's like when he found a man and he found a woman, and they're not doing carbon dating and they're not doing DNA testing. And
so what's the conspiracy? Whose body is it?
Well, Mann told the press, quote, "There's no question about it. This was a great distance away from the grave marker, but it was put up in 1923, and that's 70 years after she was moved to this cemetery," end quote. So his excuse was that the grave marker was put up after the bodies were buried, so the grave marker was an approximation, and that's why there was such a distance.
Seems unlikely, if you ask me.
So what do you think happened?
She was just another...
Jack the Ripper? That's what you're saying? You're saying she was Jack the Ripper? That's what you're saying? You're saying it
I'm saying
up
she killed...
You look at the
she
time.
Killed JFK. Yep, the timeline.
What about the Zodiac Killer?
That one, too. She was really into puzzles.
What about gray aliens?
She was one. We'll just make up shit. No one cares today.
Well, when she died, as an 80-something-year-old lady, she dies. She's just an older lady, and she owned a business. And I know she had something to do with the Revolutionary
You're
War.
Saying like the legend grew after she died.
Yeah.
Right. And then that's when people in 1923 were like, we ought to put up a marker here. You know, Betsy Ross was buried over here. They moved her 4 score ago or whatever, however they used to say it.
4 square ago. That's why they called that.
They said ye old.
Ye old 4 square. Check in.
Betsy Ross has checked in at
Ye Old Four Square in 2008.
Man could only rely on historical records and a physical examination of the bones to establish a presumptive identification, which meant he could not say with any specific certainty that the remains he found belonged to Betsy Ross. Only DNA testing could possibly identify the body, and that method is not available to Man, not at that time and not now either. Don't have anything to compare it to.
There were squirrel bones, it turns out.
It was a bucket of KFC. They like polished it off and they tossed it in the box and they were like, "There you go, that's your Betsy Ross. All right, that's my fee is exorbitant and you can mail me a check. Goodbye." Dr. Mann always finds his body.
Doc Mann.
We need a new gig.
Doc Mann, Manhunter.
It's grave robbers, dude.
Grave robbing. Victimless crime.
Victimless crime.
I'll hold the flashlight. You guys can dig and look at bones. I can't dig or look at bones, but I can hold the flashlight.
You're just going to look away the whole time. You're going
to... Yeah.
Oh, it's all upper body.
Digging. You lift with your back.
You lift with your back.
Dig with your back.
Got to jerk it.
I use a pick hoe when I go. I do it so often.
You
I
do use
a
pick hoe.
Take a long time.
So if they weren't there, if Betsy Ross and her husband weren't buried there and those aren't their bones, where might they be?
Where are they?
A Accounts that Ross was buried in Basking Ridge were prevalent in the early 1900s. Scrapbooks compiled by the late Dr. William Pennington, a local resident, revealed clippings about the Ross burial in the Basking Ridge newspaper.
Hmm.
The earliest mentions was in July 4th, 1876 speech given by E.M. Pennington in relation to Dr. Pennington, not known. He states, quote, "Here lies a woman who made the first banner containing the stars and stripes after her honored old ensign had been adopted June 14th, 1776, end quote. The speech was made in the vicinity of the revered old oak tree in Basking Ridge, New Jersey.
I'm going to say it. That sounds like a great speech.
Well, this is another reference to the centennial celebration. This is 1876. This is New Jersey getting down on it, 4th of July.
Get down on it. Like Cool and the Gang.
Like Cool and the Gang.
Which you mentioned earlier. I see. It all. There's layers to this.
It's all connected. Do your own research. Do your own research, people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How deep does it go?
None of our references are wasted. You should investigate all of them. We're not just brainlessly spouting off things we tangentially associate with the word someone else just said. This is real improv.
It's a free podcast. It's a free podcast.
It's free association is what it is. In 1901, Sexton John Craig recalled seeing a tombstone for Betsy Ross, but said it had mysteriously disappeared.
Whoa.
There are 35 Revolutionary War veterans, and those of the country's other wars are buried at this cemetery as well. So it looks like during the centennial celebration, and E.M. Pennington, who may or may not have been a grand relation to Dr. William Pennington, who is the guy who claims that Betsy Ross is buried out there, he makes a speech saying Betsy Ross is buried out here by this big old oak tree. And then people are like, yeah, I remember that. I remember that there used to be a gravestone, but somebody must have stole it. Somebody must have, it must have gotten abducted by aliens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're just trying to get people to visit the gift shop in their city. Like, now we can sell little flags.
The second reference in Dr. Pennington's scrapbook was a June 1901 news clipping, quote, "Oak marks grave of Betsy Ross," end quote. And then the sub-headline beneath it was, quote, "Maker of the first American flag buried under a giant tree in Basking Ridge," end quote. And then the story went on to claim that her headstone had been stolen.
Whoa.
So
Who would steal that?
Someone from Britain, I guess.
She owed somebody money, that's what you're saying.
Redcoat.
Some redcoat.
Somebody who hated her, you know. One of the other flag makers.
Rival flag makers. Sure.
Residents of Basking Ridge were about to raise a fund to mark the spot in the old Presbyterian cemetery where they say lies the body of Betsy Ross. Then a second article from the Philadelphia North American on June 21st, 1902 carried the headline, quote, "Betsy Ross supposed grave to be remarked," end quote. And then the subheadline underneath of it read, quote, "Residents of Basking Ridge were about to raise fund to mark the spot in the old Presbyterian church where they say lies the body of Betsy Ross," end quote. And the article went on to say, quote, "John Craig, venerable sexton of the church, always points out to visitors the location of the grave at the foot of the giant oak," end quote. So it's a lot of, like, people quoting themselves. The newspaper quotes these people, and then these people kind of quote the newspaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, John Sexton says it all the time, so the newspaper reports on John Sexton saying it, and then John Sexton says, the newspaper says it. It must be true.
Hey, come on. It was in Ye Old Daily News.
In 1942, a book about the revered, historic 600-year-old white oak in Basking Ridge, the revolutionary scene in New Jersey, as it was called, includes a quote, quote, "The tradition persists that Betsy Ross, who made the first American flag, is buried in the yard," end quote. Although authorities in Philadelphia deny any truth to the above-mentioned reference, Betsy Ross was married three times to John Ross, Joseph Ashburn, and John Claypool. Presumably, she would have been listed as Elizabeth Claypool at her death and not Betsy Ross. In the 19th century, there were Claypool families residing in the Morristown area. John Claypool was Betsy's third husband, so There's no way to know. To what name she was buried under, because there's no record of it. So going all the way back to the Quaker cemetery, who knows what body they dug up and moved.
She didn't even live there. She didn't even live at Betsy Ross's house.
We're like single-handedly ruining the tourism at the Betsy Ross house. People are going to stop going because now they know it's all...
It's bullshit. It's bunk.
It's all a lie. It's a flag of lies.
A flag of lies.
Fly your flag of lies elsewhere.
Yeah, was it? Not, I'm sorry, you said to stop changing the subject. But wasn't... But wasn't like Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, like something like that too? That they claim they had the body of Jim Thorpe, but they didn't. And like, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea.
No,
we got to do that.
Maybe that's another episode.
Nobody look it up on Wikipedia and wait.
No, don't get ahead of us.
Don't look it up.
We're gonna do it.
Don't look whatever you do. Don't look up Jim Thorpe.
Whatever you do. Google searches for Jim Thorpe plummet over the next couple of months.
They plummet. Goes from 10 to 9.
They renamed Jim Thorpe PA because they're like, people don't care anymore. Nobody remembers Jim.
But that's the... Maybe it would be a good episode.
So what does the Betsy Ross house say about all of this? The Betsy house reported... Statement?
What do they have to say?
The Betsy Ross house is sticking to their guns. They have reported that the seamstress has only been buried 3 times due to the city's expansion and never interned at the New Jersey cemetery.
This is bullshit.
They say they got the real bones.
We get to the bottom of this.
The supposed grave of Betsy Ross and her third husband, John Claypool, remain at the Betsy Ross house on 4th and Arch.
Prove it.
Dig them up.
Dig them up again for the 4th time.
Again.
I want to examine her skull. I want to see the dental records.
The podcast.
There's a podcast that demands it.
You could only disprove it, I guess. They could like dig up the bones and be like, actually, this is a monkey. You know, they couldn't prove that it was. They could only disprove.
I think they would need like other DNA.
Wait. You're saying Betsy Ross was a monkey? That's what you're trying to spread.
Betsy Ross was 1,000 monkeys with 1,000 looms working for 1,000 days.
It was completely
days.
Random.
Yeah, that the flag. Best of times. It was the blurst of times.
I've been saying since like day 2, we should just start lying.
So day 2.
Not day 1. I was like, let's try to be a real podcast. And then we
the first episode
once,
is factual.
And then after that, it's just
fine,
like,
Lorraine.
Let's just fucking,
right.
Let's,
the second episode is literally about tasty cakes. It's a
way better.
It was a precipitous drop.
It's an opinion-based podcast.
Okay, that's all I got for Betsy Ross. What about you guys? Anything you want to mention about the upholsterer, the famous upholsterer and flag maker, Betsy Ross?
It's interesting that we still no one really knows. We're just going off stories that have been handed down through hundreds of years.
And where's the house?
It's like on 4th and Arch. It's on Arch Street.
4th and Arch.
It's like a little... I'm telling you, don't go there. There's nothing there, I'm telling you.
This is the only episode that wasn't an ad for the thing we were talking about.
Well, they don't have food that we can...
Maybe they'll send us free flags.
They can bribe, yeah, I don't want a flag. I want food.
Betsy Ross needs to start selling flag cookies or something, some kind of trademark signature.
They should make
item.
It a bakery. They should like make it a
fried
bakery.
Chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, they should get rid of the whole flag part.
Boneless fried chicken sandwiches, and it's
boneless.
Because the bones aren't real.
Flag chicken sandwiches.
It's like a wink and a nod.
They throw the bones, they're like, oh yeah, that's her, and it's just a bunch of chicken bones.
It's a red, white, and blue cheese chicken sandwich.
You guys sold. Let's go.
Chicken cordon, red, white, and blue.
That's two.
What are we waiting
That's
for?
Two sandwiches. All right, let's do it. Let's try to buy it.
Let's open up. Let's open up our own chicken place next door to the Betsy Ross house.
But it's also an anti-Betsy Ross house pamphlet station.
Right. We hand out.
It's like, you know, she actually's not buried there. That she didn't even live there. I heard she was a monkey. That's what I heard on a podcast.
Do your own research.
Yeah, like a Jim Thorpe too.
What a waste of time. This is true.
What a waste
truly
of time. It's a 4th of July. It's
even
a
for even
is
for
it,
us. Yeah. So we're doing this because I'm going to Chicago. So I'm out. I got 1 foot out the door already.
You got 1 foot out the door
as you
already.
Can tell from this episode. I'm sorry. Don't. If this is your first episode you've ever listened to, I'm sorry. Listen to other ones. They're not as.
Yeah. Listen to other ones. Don't. You made it to the end of this one. But
don't listen to this episode.
Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about Betsy Ross's lost grave. Please check out our website, www.southfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Follow along and join the conversation. We're at South Fellini everywhere. We want to hear from you. Is there any other...
We didn't even plug the store this episode.
They know.
Are there any other famous... Philadelphians not buried in their actual graves that we should know about? Let us know in the comments. Have you ever been to the Betsy Ross house? What chicken sandwich do you think they should sell? Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, and enjoy your 4th of July holiday safely. Make sure you throw those fireworks before they explode.
Yeah, don't shoot off your fingers. Also, don't shoot a gun in the air. Let's stop doing that.
Don't shoot a gun in the air. Don't shoot.
It falls
Brian,
down.
You're advocating people are going to shoot. Well, don't shoot it at people either. I mean.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.